This gospel is so beautiful. It brings together in this one scene not only what is happening at the moment after the Lord has been raised from the dead and appears to them and then has this encounter with Peter. It's not only that, but St. John gives details that are meant to also evoke two other moments, dramatic moments in Peter's life, dramatic good and dramatic bad. So John wants us to clearly remember what happened on the shore of the Sea of Galilee 3 years before this, when having spent a useless night fishing but catching nothing, the Lord says to Peter, put out your nets one more time, and he does, and there's that miraculous catch of fish that leads to that beautiful, dramatic moment when Peter drops his nets, leaves them behind, and with his brother Andrew and with James and John, they follow after the Lord. So that is evoked in this scene as the Lord encounters them and, have you caught anything? No. Cast your net to the right side and you will find something. And then again, there's this miraculous catch of fish. It also evokes that dramatic, but in a bad way, scene that happened just days before this one, when around a very different charcoal fire in the courtyard of the high priest, Caiaphas, Peter three times denied that he even knew Jesus. And John wants us to have that in mind as well. But now, in the scene as it plays out in the moment, around a different charcoal fire, three times Peter is given the opportunity to renew his love, his commitment to the Lord. In this beautiful, beautiful weaving together of all of this, this is what makes Scripture just so, so beautiful and powerful. There are three things that we can learn from this in regard to our relationship of love with God, but also, because that is the most fundamental relationship, we can also apply these things to our earthly relationships of love, most especially marriage. So three things that the Lord wants us to learn. The first is this. Remember, when Peter first followed after the Lord, he had no idea what he was in store for. He had no idea what would come to pass. And he didn't have any clue and probably would have said, no, I would never deny the Lord. But what's beautiful is that when Peter first followed after the Lord, even though he didn't know what was to come, he still gave a commitment to the Lord. And that's something important to learn. We might think, gosh, you know what? When I look at Peter and I see the way he failed, I just wouldn't even bother to try. Like, who wants to fail? But Peter teaches us this lesson that it is good, and we need in our relationships of love, especially with the Lord, and obviously in marriage, we were made to give a yes, even though we do not know what will come. All of you who are married on the day that you were married so beautifully, you gave to your spouse, basically you gave him or her a blank check, and in your vows, you acknowledged, I have no idea what's going to come. I don't know if we're going to live out our married life richer or poorer, in sickness or in health. I have no idea what will come, but I am committing to you and I'm telling you, I am in this no matter what may come. That same thing has to happen in our relationship with the Lord. There is so much fear that holds us back from commitment, especially in our day and age. So many of our young adults growing up in the culture that we live in, there's a fear of committing. I don't know what may happen. I don't know what will come. And we've been so, kind of in quotes, well-trained. That's not a good thing by our culture. We've been so well-trained to try to control every piece of our life that there are a lot of us that hold back from making any commitment because we say, unless I can totally control the outcome and what I'm going to go through, I'm just not going to even go near it. But if we live life that way, if we only commit to what we can control, we will never learn to love. We'll always be out on the edge, on the sidelines of the love that we were meant to just give ourselves away to. So Peter made that commitment to the Lord, and it was so deep that even after his failure, his betrayal of the Lord, there's enough of it there still that Peter did not do what Judas did. We know that for Judas it ended in despair, but for Peter, that commitment was deep enough that even underneath of his sin, there was something there. And then the Lord very beautifully goes after that love that is still deep down underneath of the sin. This is the second thing that we learn, that our failures can become painful but powerful moments when we can recommit to both God and to our spouse. When we do fail, the Lord's grace, it is such a mysterious but beautiful thing, how Peter's betrayal ends up becoming an opportunity for Peter to give a deeper and fuller yes to God, to the Lord Jesus, than he had given before. It becomes a moment for him to grow. And there's a mystery here. Like St. Paul says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And it's not that the Lord wants us to sin. Of course he doesn't. But Paul is telling us his grace works in a million creative and beautiful ways. And even something as horrible and terrible as a betrayal, an infidelity against him, even that the Lord is able to somehow bend back around to accomplish a greater good. And the Lord does that for Peter. Three times he puts the question to Peter, do you love me? Three times Peter's given the chance to say, Lord, I do love you. The Lord gets down to that deeper part in order to offer Peter a chance to recommit, but to do it in an even greater way. Knowing what he knows of himself now, maybe Peter would be tempted to say, Lord, you know, I do love you. I failed you once. I'm afraid of that happening again. So go on without me. I'm just going to go back to fishing. But the Lord doesn't want that for Peter. He wants there to be a healing. In our earthly relationships, especially in marriage, there's something really powerful here. Even infidelity need not mean the death of a relationship. That doesn't mean that the healing of the wound of infidelity will not be a painful and perhaps long process. But even infidelity need not be the death of the relationship. It did not have to become the death of Peter's relationship with Jesus. And from that core principle relationship that we have with God, that shines light on all of our human relationships. And there's certainly no greater wound that a couple would have to really work with God's grace to overcome and receive healing for. But when it does happen, that does not have to automatically mean this is all just done. And what happens with Peter is a beautiful reminder of that. Failure becoming a powerful moment, painful too, but a powerful moment to recommit. The third thing that we learn is how important it is to be deliberate in declaring our love for God and for one another. The Lord, I picture this scene. You know, in the eyes of Jesus must, in a beautiful and powerful way, must have been able to pierce. When Jesus looked at people, and people knew, oh my goodness, I think that he's looking deep into my heart. I just imagine that he had those kinds of eyes. When the Lord looks at Peter and asks him three times, do you love me? You know this had to be an uncomfortable moment for Peter. I can imagine him kind of squirming inside of his heart and maybe not wanting to make eye contact with Jesus, maybe his head down, saying, Lord, you know that I love you. The Lord is not afraid to put Peter on the spot here in a good way, because Jesus knows underneath his betrayal there is a love for the Lord. And the Lord wants to draw that back out so that the sin does not have the last word. And so he's not afraid to put Peter on the spot. Do you love me? And three times, Peter responds, Lord, you know I love you. I do love you. And with that deliberate confession of his love for the Lord then is able to move Peter to a place where he's invited to follow him, not at the same level of commitment that he did 3 years before, but it's something deeper. Because Jesus tells him, after that confession of love, the days are going to come when you're going to stretch out your hands and someone else is going to dress you, that is, bind you, and take you where you do not want to go. And St. John tells us that he said that speaking about the kind of death by which Peter would glorify the Lord, being led away to martyrdom. And so he says to Peter, this is what is going to come. Follow me. And Peter does. Somehow, mysteriously, the betrayal becomes a moment when Peter can recommit to the Lord. And we know, historically, and that the tomb and the bones are there, buried deep three levels down underneath the main altar at St. Peter's in the old Vatican Circus where the Romans put him to death. His remains are there from his own martyrdom. There's a mystery here in all of this, but today, let's pray that the Lord will help us to learn these three things about our relationship of love with him and with one another. One, do not let the fear of the unknown hold you back from committing to loving God and loving your neighbor. Don't be so intent on trying to control things that you say, I'm only going to love if I can control. You'll never love if that's your approach. Second, let's pray that the Lord will teach us how his grace is able to move our failures even into places of a deeper commitment of love to God and to our spouse. That is hard work, and there will be a temptation, like Judas, to despair. But the Lord says, my love is able to heal. And the third thing we want to pray that he'll teach us is to be deliberate about declaring our love for him, for the Lord, and for one another. To do that in our prayer, Psalm 18, it's such a beautiful psalm. It opens up with a declaration, I love you, Lord, my strength. It's such a beautiful opening to that psalm. We need to do that with God and with one another, to be very deliberate and clear about declaring that love that we have. Because when we do that, it strengthens our commitment to that very love. Today, let's ask the Lord to teach us and these three truths and to give us grace to put them into practice in the coming days of this new week.